Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's the secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup Podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
Kenny Pickett. Dylan Gabriel. You're not going to do this? Come on. Fine.
I'm supposed to go yay for Dylan
Gabriel? Here? Yeah, why wouldn't you say yay for Dylan Gabriel?
I didn't want him before the draft.
So what? You don't have any hope for him?
Then they overdrafted him by like maybe at least a round,
all
maybe
right,
two.
You're just a boatload of fun this morning. Okay, let's bring in Mary Kay Cabot, who joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. It's like you came in and farted on my pillow while I was in bed, Tone. Hello, Mary Kay.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Could you help out this crotchety bastard over here? Because he's just in a bad mood all day.
Oh, it's almost the weekend, the holiday weekend. So much to look forward to.
Yeah, Tone, come on.
Could have been nicer weather. That's all I'm saying.
All right, could have been nicer weather. He's right about that. Mary Kay, what is this? What is this balderdash you're writing about Deshaun Watson coming back this year? What are you doing to me? What are you doing to us?
Well, he wants to come back this year. He's determined to come back this year. Does that mean he's going to come back this year? We have no idea what the plan is for that, but he is working round the clock to try to get back. He believes that he can play again and possibly even play this season. So I have no idea where that's going to go, but I will say this. Every single time that we have asked the Browns about Deshaun Watson, they have never completely slammed the door shut on him. So you just never know. I doubt he's going to play this season. I highly doubt it. And I do actually think that a change of scenery would be best for him and for the Browns. But the point is, he's out there in Berea throwing to Jerry Jeudy, throwing to David Bell, and making really, really good progress in his recovery.
It's very weird here, Mary Kay, because like he has every right to be in the facility. But it's like, man, it seems they've drafted two rookies. We know what Jimmy Haslam's comments were. Like the franchise seems to be moving on. Could this become a distraction over time? Like if he's IR'd, say he's IR'd this year, he still has the right to walk in there and be a part of the teammates and be a part of the organization. Could this become some sort of a distraction or weirdness here?
You know, I really don't think so. The way that everyone's talking about him, even the rookie quarterbacks are talking about him in sort of mentorship terms. He's in the meeting rooms with them. He's trying to help those guys as much as he possibly can. For them, it might be sort of, I don't know, inspirational a little bit to see someone working so hard to come back from an injury like that. I really don't know. I haven't talked to them about that aspect of it, but so far, everyone's been really, really positive about it. The messaging is positive from Kevin to Andrew to the players. So at this point, I'm going to say no on the distraction piece.
Yeah, I think the hard part is, Mary Kay, to have, you know, this many guys in that quarterback room, and obviously one of them is not going to be able to play this year. But at least from the messaging, he still thinks he's got, you know, a reserve spot for himself in the room. I think it makes it hard because in most situations around the NFL, you have one guy that, based on where he's drafted, he is kind of anointed like, all right, that's the one that's going to get the reps or the one we're going to be working on, you know, growing throughout the years. In this case, they don't have that at all. They have this competition, but then they have the guy they went out and got this offseason, actually two of those guys, one they traded for. So it's just tough. We don't see a lot of analog for this in the NFL.
No, you really don't. This is a very, very unique situation. And then again, when you add in the Deshaun Watson piece, it adds just a whole other layer to this thing. And who knows, maybe they are sprucing him up to salvage something from this trade down the road. We don't really know. Maybe they think perhaps if he looks good enough, somebody will try to trade for him or give them some amount of money. So you just never know what the actual plan is going to be, but it is definitely a unique situation. And as I wrote about yesterday, I really think that they have to decide on their quarterback as soon as possible, because they really have a tough early part of the schedule, one that includes 5 out of 6 games on the road from weeks 4 through 9. Five out of six on the road. If they don't survive that gauntlet in the schedule, then the second half of the season is a wash, and it's going to be very difficult to keep really good, savvy Pro Bowl veterans locked in down the stretch.
I know you wrote about this in the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com earlier this week, Mary Kay, but can you tell us what you know that the Browns, how they plan to kind of work these four quarterbacks around with reps and such during training camp?
Well, what they're going to be doing is running concurrent passing drills to the extent that they can. Now, you can't always do that, because when you get to 11 on 11s, which are going to be starting in OTAs next week, when you get into those kinds of things, then you're going to not be able to do that to that extent. But they should be able to run as many of these drills as they possibly can, side by side, and they'll have 2 quarterbacks in those drills, each of those drills, and they'll have about 6 receivers in each of those passing drills. And by the time they get done with OTAs, they should have a pretty good idea of where this is going.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What has Sanders been like in the building? Because I got to tell you here, Mary Kay, I'm finding him more and more likable. I liked him before. I think there's something about, man, if he would have been taken number 2 overall, I think there would have been a slew of naysayers. I think there would have been a bunch of people talking about him being overdrafted. But, man, he goes in the 5th round, and now it seems like it's this prove-them-all-wrong underdog story in some way. I like that type of thing, and it's really got me rooting for him here. What's it been like with the organization so far?
Well, the thing about Shador, and I started noticing this early on in the process, way back, when he went to the East-West Shrine Bowl, and then when I watched him operate and move around at the Super Bowl and at the NFL Honors, you can kind of pick up what a person is like and how they treat people. And I liked him from the jump, from a personality standpoint. He is extremely, extremely likable. He's funny. He's always got that smile on his face. He is self-deprecating in some ways, even though he calls himself legendary. He says all the right things. I thought
baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's the secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk. We'll bring the baseball news.
He did a phenomenal job with his podium interview at rookie mini camp, and he got asked a lot of tough questions, and he handled them all really, really well. I think he's sort of built for this spotlight. And once again, as you mentioned, he is a likable person, and that's how it's playing in the building. The Browns like him. They liked him throughout the whole entire process. I think that's one of the reasons why they jumped back up there in the 5th round and grabbed him. I don't think that they wanted to see Shador suffer anymore and Deion suffer anymore, and they wanted to give this young man the chance in the NFL that they felt that he deserves. So he is very well liked in the building. I think he's going to be a really, really good teammate. He's been known for that, and I think it's going to make things interesting.
If in the end, Mary Kay, after we get through all of mini camp and training camp and preseason, and there's really not that much of a gap between Shador Sanders and Dylan Gabriel, who ends up being higher in the depth chart?
Well, that's a good question. I can't answer that right now, because if you really are trying to conduct a fair and equitable quarterback competition, then you can't answer that right now. I know how they're heading in, and I've said it numerous times. I believe they're heading in Kenny 1, Dylan 2, and then Joe and Shador 3-4, 4-3, something like that. But how it ends up, it all depends on them. Those guys can go out there, build on their strengths, correct their weaknesses, and they can knock the socks off of whoever is making this decision. The ultimate decision will be Kevin Stefanski's, because that's his role, is to choose the starting quarterback. But those guys can go out there and they can jumble up this order and they can mix things up by what they do. And there are certain things that each one of them are going to have to work on. And if they can overcome the things that have held them back to this point, then it's anybody's ball game right now, regardless of how it's beginning.
Mary Kay Cabot with us on the show. When it comes to Joe Flacco or maybe even Kenny Pickett, have you heard anything? I mean, I know they're having owners meetings right now up in Minnesota, or they were earlier this week. Have you heard anything from any other teams creeping about the possibility of making a trade or anything like that for either one of those two guys, or is it too early?
It's too early. Right now, the Browns have no intentions of trading any of those quarterbacks. They want to conduct this four-way competition. They strategically set out to fill the quarterback room up with these four players, and they wanted a very experienced veteran, a little bit less experienced veteran with plenty of upside, and then at least one rookie. They ended up with two. So that's how they wanted this to go, and no, they have no plans of trading a quarterback anytime soon. But, of course, once they get to cutdown day on August 27th, they will definitely be open to whatever comes their way, and they will be answering the phone and fielding calls and maybe even making calls of their own to try to move one or two of these guys. But as of right now, the Saints or anybody, they won't be able to get their hands on one of them yet.
Mary Kay, I know you did some reporting on that Charles Woodson news, kind of joining on the ownership team with a very, very small stake. What do you think the purpose was for the Haslams to open that up?
Well, I think that the NFL is working hard to match former players with owners, former players that really would like to get involved in NFL ownership. And they were introduced to Charles, and they had a really, really good meeting with him. They liked him, and vice versa. He's an Ohio native, and there was just a lot that was right about it. And as you mentioned, it's a very, very small stake, but it could go a long way. He can be very instrumental in helping this team. He doesn't have anywhere near the stake that Tom Brady has in the Raiders. His is 0.1%. Tom Brady has 5%. It was about a $5 million investment for him. So it's small and almost ceremonial. But it, you know, it can go a long way. I mean, if you put Charles Woodson in a room in front of these players, that can have an enormous impact. He's got a tremendous resume. He's been there. Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer. Once again, he's from Ohio, and I just think it adds another layer of just of greatness to showing these guys how things can be done.
Do you like? That's a weird way to say it. Are you in favor of the tush push staying? The Browns are one of the teams that voted to keep the tush push. Do you think that that might be because they have a very close relationship with the Philadelphia Eagles?
Well, I think that's part of it. I mean, Kevin is really, really good friends with Nick Sirianni. Andrew Berry is great friends with Howie Roseman. It's almost like their sister football team in the NFL. And of course, we know that the Berry twins work for both teams. So there's just a lot of crossover between the teams. They're practicing against them again in joint practices this summer. So I do think that there was some of that involved. But I think they probably also admire the play, like the play. I don't like the play. I don't care for it at all. I don't feel like it's a good, sound, solid, mature football play. I just don't like it. I mean, if you can find yourself, I wrote this yesterday, if you can find yourself a Jacoby Brissett or someone that can go out there and get a yard for you on a sneak, if you have to push somebody like that to get the yard, I'm just not loving that. So I don't like it, but they did a great job in their presentation. And if this is going to end, it's not going to be this year, maybe not even next year. Somebody would have to get hurt or something would have to change drastically.
Playoff seating, do you like it? Did it seem, Tone, that they wanted to do it NBA style in the NFL with playoff seeding, or they were going to reseed after the first round, things like that. The tone, go ahead and give her what you want.
The NBA changed their format.
No, I'm asking your question. I'm sorry.
You know, I don't know how many years ago they changed their format to where the record was going to be the difference maker, regardless of whether you won your division or not. So it looks like they're maintaining what they believe to be the integrity of the divisions. Do we know where the Browns would have fallen on that, given that the Browns have never won this division in a long time for many of the people listening for their entire lives?
I don't know where they would have fallen on that. I really don't. We haven't had a chance to ask them that yet. But down the road, I would not mind at all changing up the seating, because I don't think that you should necessarily get rewarded for playing in a lesser division.
Ooh.
I think it should be more of a level playing field, and it should be how good you are, not where you had the benefit of playing. And, you know, I just think that it would be a lot more fair if they changed it up and tweaked it.
Mary Kay, you're one of the best. You know we love you, and we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What else?
Is that shots fired to the NFC South and Baker Mayfield?
Is that shots fired at my old ways? Is that me?
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's the secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup Podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.